Gather them up.
Ready for the big show?
You ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Ready.
Cue the host.
Go.
Welcome to the conversation. South Florida Talks with Rich Stevens and newsman Dave McBride. Now here's your host, Rich Stevens.
Thank you so much for turning on the radio. It is Wednesday, January 11th, 2012, 11:04. And in the studio with me this morning is famous criminal defense attorney legend. Did I get it all right? Did I get enough in there?
Legend in her own mind.
No, you are a legend.
Thank
Anybody
you.
That can do the same job for more than 20 years and be successful at it is legendary in my mind.
Thank you. And thank you. I love it. I love what I do.
You certainly don't look legendary. So I'm guessing you started this job when you were what, 15?
15.
Yeah.
15. Yeah, about 15 and a half.
I can't believe it.
Skipped a lot of grades.
And you were just standing in a courtroom at 15 for your first job and
that's right.
Yelling at someone, and the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Coming up in just a couple minutes, I have a story about a dog. You know how I love dogs. It's a story about a dog, a fisherman, and the ocean here in Florida. Unbelievable story. Hang on for that.
Well, you did some wonderful things over the holidays and got all those dogs adopted, so you should be commended for that. That was wonderful. Thank you so much.
I was so excited to find in less than a week we got 12 dogs adopted into new homes just in time for the holidays.
You saved them.
It's just amazing.
You did. You saved them. Good for you. And I'm an incredible dog lover. We have a border collie, and he is just
dogs are the best. They're like a part of the family.
My husband always says, you know, say whatever you want about my kids, don't ever talk badly about
right,
my dog.
Right. That's almost like, and I say almost, but that's almost like when somebody gives me crap about the squirrels in the back.
Right.
You see the way that squirrel takes the peanut out of my hand.
Yeah.
There's something to that animal that's more than just an animal. They have brains.
Or they're hungry.
Well, yeah, but listen, I'm 6'5". That squirrel is, what, the size of my hand?
Right. No, it's true.
And they walk up to me and then, you know, they know. I mean, they look at me and then when he tilts his head like that, like your dog does.
I know.
It's so adorable.
I know. It's so adorable. They're also listeners, so that's good.
Well, they must be because they know.
they know when you're there.
You know what you haven't seen yet? I forgot to show you this. Next break, we got to walk out in the hallway because when they're hungry, they will actually stand on the glass like a dog would look in the window. The squirrel does the same thing.
With the eyes.
I'm telling you.
With the eyes. Yeah, those big, the puppy eyes.
Wait till you see it.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so Michelle Suskar in the studio this morning and tomorrow morning at this time, a guy by the name of Al Lamberti. Do you know Al?
I don't know him, but certainly know of him.
He's the sheriff of Broward County. He's got his own theme music as well.
He's been responsible for arresting a number of my clients over the years. So, yes, absolutely.
Well, so that's good for business, right?
Always good for business. I'd love to meet him. You know,
I
can give him
tomorrow.
I want to. I'm going to give him my card. Say, listen, you're going to arrest. Please just give them my card so they could hire me.
Would you say that you were excited about being here today?
Very excited.
Because when you got here this morning, and you can see how it's, you know, kind of crazy getting ready to go on the air and everything.
Yeah.
You know, behind the scenes. And then there were a couple people that were excited to meet you, very excited to meet you, because they've heard you on the conversation numerous times over the last year. And the first thing that they asked you is what?
Do you have a card?
Right. And then,
you know, I've been giving them. Listen, I'm happy to give them out, and I had just run out. I have plenty in my office. I'm embarrassed, but thank you so much for bringing that up. I appreciate that.
I'm just saying, you know, because people, you know, it had to be because you were so excited and you're trying to get everything done, and
right.
And the one thing you forget is your business card.
I didn't think I was going to need my business cards here in the office, but apparently there were a bunch of arrests here, and you know, people needed my services. I can understand that.
This is a radio station.
Yeah, you always got to be prepared.
On.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
You always got to be prepared.
You're right.
So
I didn't get that patch when I was a brownie.
You didn't
by the way,
prepared
I was
patch?
A brownie. My mother was the brownie leader. So.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of your mom. So we're on the radio and your mom is giving you topics for us to talk about.
Yes. My mother and my father are up in Baltimore right now. My dad's doing some treatment at Hopkins. So hi, Mom and Dad. I love you and come home soon. And my mother is, you know, was just saying you haven't mentioned me. You haven't mentioned me. You inherited your sense of humor from me. I don't know if that's true. I guess maybe a little bit. So shout out to Mom and Dad.
What's your mom's name?
Rose. Rose and Alan.
Okay.
And shout out to them, and I love them. And she did suggest a topic, which I choose to ignore, but what else is new?
Do I want to hear the topic?
Not really.
what's the topic?
I think she wanted us to talk about the fact that there are Levitra and Viagra commercials on during nightly news and all the news stations, where obviously there's a lot of viewership. And I know my kids always watch the news with us, and you have these very long 30-second spots about, you know, different possibilities that can happen when you take Levitra and Viagra. And
Mommy,
you know,
what is ED?
That, yeah. Oh, they've heard it. And I just, you know, I just try to press, you know, mute, because it's just so inappropriate. So she wanted me to discuss. There you go, Mom. I've discussed it. Done. Done.
You got to make your mom happy.
I try, you know, I don't know. I think I do make my mom happy. I do. They live real close to us, and we love them very much. So.
Well, that's good. I love my mom. I'm always talking about my mom and things.
That's good.
And my mom gives me great topics for the program as well.
See, there you go. And you know, it also, what parents also do is they give you fodder to go speak to your therapist about, right? That's their job. You got to blame the mom. It's my mother's fault.
I don't
think
mom would be giving me a Viagra topic, though, to talk about.
Okay, that's probably good. Yeah. Mom has some other topics in mind. Okay. Well, this is my mother has a one-track mind, okay? So this is very, very par for the course with my mother.
And was your mom an attorney too?
No, my mother is not an attorney. She is an educator.
Oh, okay.
So she's a teacher. So she with her dirty mind, does teach young children. So God help us all.
Listen, I have to ask, when you're in the courtroom, obviously you make some notes of things that you're going to, you know, talk about when you're at a trial.
Yes.
Is most of it right off the cuff, or do you just, I mean, how does that work?
Well, you know, obviously every case is very different, but closing arguments are very, very powerful, because that's, you know, the culmination of the case, and it's really your chance to, you know, put your spin on what you believe the evidence showed. What you say in closing is not evidence, but it really is your time opening and closing to really, you know, present your showmanship. And it's sometimes, if the facts are very bad, like when there's a confession or that hasn't been thrown out, or videotape showing your client doing whatever they were charged with doing, it could be challenging. And that's when you have to get up and wave the flag and make the state, you know, be held to their burden of proof. Because if the state did not prove it, you have six people on this jury. Normally it's six, unless it's a capital case, it's 12. And you have to try, all you have to do is convince one of them. All you have to do is say, you know, one of them have some sort of reasonable doubt, and that's enough.
How close, I'm a big Law and Order fan, how close is the real stuff compared? And I told you this a couple of weeks ago. I would love to be sitting in the courtroom and just watch you in action sometime.
Well, I'm going to call you and let you know, but, you know, you obviously can only come in the afternoon, since you're a little busy in the morning doing the conversation. You know, I don't really, I have to be honest and tell you that I can't watch those shows. I just can't, because I live those shows.
But
I don't.
Is it that close, or is it that far off?
I you can't compress an entire trial in 20 minutes. So I think it's, you know, there are some things that are similar, but for the most part, it's completely overacted. And it's, you know, it's a lot of times it's not that exciting. A lot of times it's just hurry up and wait, because there's objections. There's a slow presentation of evidence. There are breaks. There are questions. So it goes a lot slower and a lot bumpier than it does on television. On television, it's smooth and beautiful.
But does it get as heated as some of those
absolutely.
Shows?
Absolutely. It gets. Listen, we've been sitting here talking in person for a few hours. Can you see how heated it could possibly get?
Nah,
I mean, it gets very heated, especially when, you know, you have someone like me who's fighting for their client. Because a lot of times, you know, people are going to lose their liberty. They're going to jail. They're going to lose their driver's license. They're going to, you know, lose their house, their possessions, their families. So it gets very, very emotional. It does.
All right. Coming up after a quick break, you're going to love this. Are you kidding me? And I got jam-packed with several stories today. and some of them are legal issues. So you're going to be interested in this. We'll do that right after a quick break on Big Talk 850.
You're listening to The Conversation with Rich Stevens.
You can hear talk almost anywhere, but this is the only place where you get the conversation. Join in, 877-850-8585. Now, here's Rich Stevens.
It is 1119. It is Wednesday. I don't know why. It feels like a Monday to me, even though it's in the middle of the week. You get that feeling?
I have that Monday feeling.
I don't know why. Why?
Monday blues. I don't know, because it looks kind of dreary out.
Yeah, here's the story. It's a cold front that's coming in over us from the west coast of Florida, which is coming from the... I guess the Midwest that came over and down and now sideways. And sometime this afternoon, we're supposed to get some rain, and it could be heavy at times. The good news is it's not going to drop into the 30s and 40s because of the cold front. It's a different kind of cold front.
But that would be kind of cool. Then we would have snow.
No snow.
We want a little snow.
No snow.
Okay.
No snow.
Then the snowbirds would leave.
No, we want the snowbirds.
I know.
Here.
Well...
I just want the snowbirds to all go to driver's ed or something to learn how to drive and where to park cars and how to turn. You know, I don't know how many times, I don't think I could say this enough. Driver's ed 101, what's the first thing they teach you besides keeping your hands on the wheel? The second thing is they always teach you, you must signal when you change lanes.
There's
right?
No signaling.
Well, what happens to people that don't live in South Florida? All of a sudden you come to South Florida and you don't think you need a turn signal, or you could go from the right lane all the way over to the left lane.
Well, but another thing, you know, a lot of snowbirds, and of course we're happy to have them down here, help boost our economy, but a lot of snowbirds don't work. They're retired. They're enjoying their retirement years. Stay off the road when we're all trying to get to work. Do you have to schedule that 7:30? 30 a.m. doctor's appointment.
Yeah,
is
know,
that necessary? We are driving to work. That's where we're going.
And
we live
the
here.
The funniest thing is seeing some people, and I shouldn't, well, it is funny. I see some people that, let me see how I can say this politically correct without shooting myself in the foot. Well, you know, you see some people that are walking in a parking lot, they get out of a car, and you say to yourself, how is it possible that that person is driving the car, yet they are driving the car? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in South Florida that shouldn't be driving. And I know one day I'm going to be one of those people, so I'm trying to be as kind as I can when I say this. But, you know, there's a time. If you can't, number one, hold two hands on a steering wheel, and number two, if a child runs out in front of the car, if you can't slam on that brake to stop from hitting that child, then you shouldn't be driving a car.
Well, the problem is, as you get older... you know, your reaction time slows. There's no question your reaction time slows. Your hearing is going, your vision is going, and your reaction time is slowing. And the problem is we do these automatic renewals of your driver's license. I think...
Which has got to be one of the biggest jokes in government history.
It is unbelievable. So do you want to do an automatic 10-year renewal for a 90-year-old who is driving? And 10 years... Hey, listen, God bless them. I hope that they're around when they're 100. Do I want them driving at the age of 99? No, I don't.
That it's so scary to me that the automatic renewal thing is the way it works. It just doesn't make any sense to
me
at all.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
But that's why our insurance rates are so high here in South Florida, too.
That's true.
All right, let's go right on the same topic. Are you kidding me? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Look, we all know Judge Judy, right?
Yes, not personally, but certainly watch her. She is a fireball.
And she's so sexy. Even at her age.
Okay.
I'd love to have her boss me around. No, I'm kidding. But the average guy, listen, the average guy has no chance of getting with her, right?
Isn't she married?
Yeah, but there's, you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
So there's no need to be jealous here, but that logic was not good enough for 62-year-old Janice Knowles, who lives here in Jupiter. On Sunday morning, Janet's 65-year-old husband was watching Judge Judy, and Janet was enraged. Now, the cops aren't sure if it was jealousy or what, but Janet lost it. So she ended up grabbing a hammer, and she went after her husband with it. He ended up with huge cuts on his head and his forearms. Janet was arrested and charged with aggravated battery. And...
she's going to need representation. I defend her in a heartbeat. Absolutely. First of all, what was he doing when he was watching Judge Judy? You can't just say this story in a vacuum, okay?
Say what he was doing while watching Judge Judy.
Okay. Does it say that?
Are you kidding me? Now, if this wasn't going to lead to extreme bias, I'd say this was the perfect case for Judge Judy to handle. I mean, think about it.
Right.
But that's right here in our backyard. All right, here's another story, okay?
Okay.
Now, I got to tell you, I love these random sightings of Jesus and the Virgin Mary.
You mean like in grilled cheese and pizza?
Right, yeah. Yeah. And I'm a believer in that. You know, I believe that's really there. Even though I'm Jewish, it's okay. I can believe these things. The only thing that makes me skeptical is that this latest sighting that happened in Tampa, by the way, which is the same one that happened last time, and Jesus and Mary are not going to Tampa.
Well, you know, the bay is very nice this time of year.
Listen, the latest appearance of the Virgin Mary is on a wall at a restaurant in Tampa called Hamburger Mary's. So I guess, are you kidding me? So I guess if Mary was going to eat anywhere, it'd probably be there, right?
I would think.
Well, the appearance isn't that clear. It's definitely got the Mary shape, but doesn't really have facial features or anything. The manager of Hamburger Mary's says that people first spotted it over the weekend and, quote, from certain angles, it does look like the Virgin Mary. She also says that the restaurant is getting an influx of people wanting to see and touch the image.
And I'm sure you can't go into Hamburger Mary's without first buying a hamburger.
All right, here's one. If it was only always this easy to get these schmucks off the street, on Saturday in San Francisco, two female cops were on duty in their police car when a 26-year-old man walked up to the passenger window of the car. Now, his name hasn't been released yet. He started trying to have a conversation with one of the female cops, and he started hitting on the cop.
Okay.
And asked her if she was married and available. She asked for his name. He gave it to her. They eventually gave up and walked away. So as he's walking away, they run his name, and they find out that he had a warrant out for his arrest for him on rape charges.
Wow.
So the cop calls for him to come back to make him think that she's interested, and when he got to the car,
They
arrested him.
He needs representation, too.
Are you kidding me? I got a couple more for you. I need to take a quick break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to tell you, and I think this is one of those stories that, well, it's actually pretty disturbing, and it's a little bit depressing, too, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, then let's talk about it.
A 14-year-old boy achieved his dream of playing on the school basketball team. Then he died of cardiac arrest at his first practice.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you about it next on the Big Talk 850.
Don't get left out. Join the conversation. 877-850-8585. Now, here's your host, Rich Stevens.
You know, I hate to have gone into that break on such a low note, but this is a story that I think is worth repeating. So I wanted to tell you about it. Hopefully, you're not going to hear a more depressing story today than this one. Cody Sherrell was a 14-year-old boy whose dream was to play basketball for his high school. Cody's family said that he suffered from shyness, but he overcame it to try out for the 8th grade basketball team. He showed up for the first practice on Monday wearing his brand new Kobe Bryant model sneakers that his family bought from. They spent a lot of money on them, too. Partway through the practice, Cody went into cardiac arrest, and it ended up killing him later that night.
Terrible.
During a break, Cody sat down. He fell over. The team's coach and a parent took some CPR classes. Paramedics were able to shock his heart and get a beating again, but he died later that night at the hospital. He had no history of heart problems, and he passed a physical a few days earlier. Coaches and teammates say that the practice wasn't very strenuous. They also said that Cody had been highly active while playing. The school's principal said, quote, "While his parents were devastated by what happened, they were happy he was on the court. He was doing what he wanted to do." Can you imagine 14 years old?
No, I can't. That's such a tragic story.
And while we're talking of tragic stories, it was last January, a year ago, 31-year-old Allison Fournier from New York City was in Helsinki in Finland. She was on a business trip. She was staying at a hotel called Hotel Camp. That's Camp with a K. Hotel Camp is owned by Starwood Hotels, the company that also owns, you know, Sheraton and Westin, the W, and a lot of other major hotel chains. On January 15th, some random drunk guy apparently went to the front desk, told him that Allison was his wife, and the clerk gave him a room key without checking his ID.
Wow. Can you say lawsuit?
So while Allison was sleeping, this guy goes into her room, took off his clothes, climbed into bed, starts groping her. She freaks out, ran out of the room. Now, the guy hasn't been identified yet, so he hasn't been hit with any criminal charges. Allison says she's still traumatized by the experience. She ended up quitting her investment banking job and moving back with her family to here in South Florida. And now she's suing Starwood for an undisclosed amount.
You're damn right she is.
And naturally, her lawyer, you want to guess?
Oh, Gloria Allred?
You got it. She's the one who most recently represented Sharon Bialik, the first woman to accuse Herman Cain of sexual harassment.
Tiger Woods mistresses, you name it.
Starwood says they're, quote, taking this allegation seriously and are working with the hotel to understand the facts. She's going to get a lot of money, isn't she?
She should get a lot of money.
That's just unbelievable.
You know, that should never have happened. And those are the types of suits that are, you know, you don't want to have a cap on damages. You want to, you know, be able to sue this big corporation for this type of negligence. It's terrible. It's changed your life.
And here's one more are you kidding me story, because I just, you know, some of these things that you hear about, you have to scratch your head and wonder, what the heck are people thinking? A masked gunman in Fayetteville taped a bomb to a 73-year-old grandmother and forced her to make a withdrawal from the bank. She goes walking into the bank. She told the employees she had a bomb taped to her leg. The bank was evacuated. The bomb squad was called, and thankfully, they safely removed the device. It turns out she and her husband were held hostage in their home. The gunman strapped the bomb to her leg and told her, all I have to do is push this button and it's going to blow you up.
Oh, my gosh.
Her husband was found safe. The woman was fine. Cops are still looking for the gunman. They're not even sure at this point still if the device was even a bomb. But, I mean, you talk about...
Can imagine someone, you know, can have a heart attack for something less
right.
than that. Oh, my gosh.
It's just unbelievable.
Well, these are all light and sweet stories, like, you know.
All right, here's one more for you, okay?
Okay, you're killing me.
It's a dog story now.
Okay, well, if it's a dog story.
Just remember, dog stories don't always have a good ending.
Oh, no, please, don't do this to me.
A dog was rescued by a fisherman after he swam a mile out to sea when his owner was killed by a drunk driver. It was a hit-and-run drunk driving accident while he was jogging in Sarasota. The fisherman was in his kayak. He saw the terrified and injured dog and rescued the dog. He took the pooch named Barney to the vet. The dog's owner, a mother of three, was run over and killed by the alleged drunk driver as she was jogging with Barney. The dog ran for his life when he saw the accident.
Wow.
Barney was returned to the woman's husband and kids. A 22-year-old man has been arrested for running over the woman while he was drunk.
That is another terrible, tragic story.
It's just, you know, some of the things that happen here in Florida are just, they really just blow my mind.
Yeah, we always seem to have interesting and strange cases here in Florida, more so other than California. I think we're up there.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to tell you a story. We were talking about this a little bit earlier about privacy issues and things like that. I'm going to tell you a story about Google. They want to get more personal with you.
More personal?
More personal, as if that weren't enough.
They're very touchy-feely already.
Yeah, well, wait to hear this story. Also, let me tell you about this. There's a, you know, there's this guy that's been in a big talk for, I guess, a few weeks. Is Tim Tebow. Did you ever hear him?
No. Should I?
It was really cool to see Pittsburgh's mayor wearing a Tebow jersey this morning.
Wow.
Tebowing in front of the Steel City skyline. Did you see this on the news?
You know,
it was great.
Unbelievable.
He was paying off a bet he made with the mayor of Denver over the Steelers Bronco game. And by the way, if Denver had lost, Mayor Michael Hancock had pledged to wear a Steelers jersey and wave one of the terrible towels. There's these yellow towels that they have in the stands.
Yes, absolutely.
And by the way, speaking of Tim Tebow, his game-winning touchdown pass against the Steelers generated 9,422 tweets a second.
That's amazing.
That just broke all the tweeting records. The record before that was Beyonce's Twitter record when Beyonce debuted